It's the warm exhalation upon your skin, racing pulse beneath your fingertips. It's the sweet, shy glance, low whispered words, a mouth blossoming beneath your lips. And that's a soul kiss. Nothing is as sweet as this. That's a soul kiss. Change your life, have mercy.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Reform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this program part of your Monday evening. As always, a pleasure to be here with you. Talking sports with you live for the next couple of hours until 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. In the meanwhile, you can call me. Hit me up. Hit my lineup. Hit me up at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. It is hard to believe that I'm looking outside the window and we still got daylight. And that can only mean one thing or one thing only, and that is that the days are getting longer and we're getting closer and closer to daylight saving time, to it actually ending. So, February is tomorrow. And usually, we'd be talking about spring training being right around the corner, getting ready for the upcoming baseball season. But if we can be completely honest with ourselves, I think it's time to admit that spring training is not going to start on time. It's not going to happen on time. So, in the meanwhile, we got football that will drag us another couple of weeks up until mid-February, February 13th. And then after that begins the football withdrawal. And it also happens that the following day, which is also a Monday, February 14th, happens to be Valentine's Day. So, fellas, we kind of have it hard this year in a sense of Super Bowl Sunday, and then the following day, you got to, if you're, you know, seeing someone, or if you're in a relationship, or if you're engaged or married, you know, like, do a little something-something. But, it also depends on the individual as well, because not everybody believes in Valentine's Day. Me, personally, I don't. But that's neither here nor there. But, speaking of hearts and love, guess who is falling out of love today? It's the folks in Kansas City. Let's start there. Because if you told me that 24 hours from now, we'd be talking about the Kansas City Chiefs not playing in the Super Bowl, I would have looked at you and said, you're full of crap. Stop lying. Stop with the lies. Stop with the BS. Because you and I know that the Bengals have no chance against the Kansas City Chiefs. None. Zero. But here we are 24 hours later. Almost exactly 24 hours later. I think America as a whole is not only celebrating the fact that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to the Super Bowl, but as a collective country and conscious of the sports world that we all have, we're all in a state of shock. Please, for a moment, honestly and truthfully, at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, how many people truly believed? Now, I am specifically differentiating between truly believing and predicting. But how many people in America truly believed that the Kansas City Chiefs were actually going to lose to the Cincinnati Bengals? How many of you honestly believed that when the Chiefs were leading 21-3 going into halftime? Raise your hands. Not many. Very few did, right? But I'll tell you this. I was one of those people who said, man, this game's over. I was honestly beginning to lose interest. When they got to 21-3, my thought began to drift, man, what a shame. Because the Bengals, they've had quite the run. Joe Burrow has been an absolute machine since the end of the regular season. He's been a machine the entire season, frankly. But I'm talking about this entire playoff run. Up until that point, I'm like, you know what? Joe Burrow, you are that dude. You are that dude in the AFC that the Patriots are going to have to contend with, along with the rest of the AFC, of course, for the next minimum 10 years. Along with the likes of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. But here's the reality. The reality is that yesterday was also a reminder as to why you do not underestimate your opponent. You don't underestimate your opponent under any circumstances. Because the thing that I admit that's even shocking on a Monday afternoon going into Monday night here in Metro Boston is that if you were to tell me that the Cincinnati Bengals were going to find a way to not only tie the game, but to win the game in overtime after initially losing the coin flip to Kansas City, I would have told you there's no way in hell. There's no way. No way. We're going to have time to really dive into what exactly went wrong in terms of that game. But right now, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking specifically the general thoughts and feelings based upon what we saw yesterday. And of course, we had the Rams and the 49ers game last night. Another game that involved a classic choke job, this time by the usual suspects in Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. Shocker. Tell me if you heard that before. You have. But more on that later on. But right now, let's start with Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals. Because I've started the show talking about that game already. But I'm specifically focusing on just the overview and the overall perspective of that game. And that is, how is it that your arrogance can lead you so far down a path in which that you feel completely invincible, that we're so good that nothing and nobody can touch us? How? Because that's exactly what we saw yesterday. You know, the old adage, that goes, pride, arrogance is a sin. When you become proud, boastful, arrogant, guess what happens? You begin to lose the very thing that you've been blessed with. And the very blessing that you have begins to lose its potency, its charm, its value. It begins to lose all of those key important things. Yesterday, with 5 seconds remaining left in the first half, the Kansas City Chiefs, specifically Patrick Mahomes, did something that left me in a state of disbelief. I tweeted about it yesterday on Twitter. For those who haven't followed me on Twitter yet, follow me on Twitter at Shukri Writes, at SHUKRIWRIJCS. I talked about this on Twitter very briefly in a tweet. I was stunned that the Chiefs decided to go for the touchdown. Because with 5 seconds left, no timeouts, conventional wisdom, and you're already up 21-3, your thought should be, just go for the, just take the points, just go for the field goal. Why should I try to waste this last play on trying to go for 6 or potentially 7 points? Take the 3 and go into the half. No. The Chiefs got greedy. They got more greedier than a fat kid who loves cake and still wants to go more for cannolis. That's what that was. The Kansas City Chiefs are that fat kid who loves cake, and they had a lot of cake in the first half. Go see Patrick Mahomes. Go see Tyreek Hill. They had a lot of cake in the first half. Meanwhile, when they got to that moment in that play, it was an outside throw to Tyreek Hill, and they did not score. Eli Apple made the stop. And ever since that moment, momentum changed. And what amazed me in the process is a team that you just did not expect. As team as talented as the Kansas City Chiefs are, you did not expect for them to suddenly not only lose focus, but to also become too cocky, too arrogant for their own good. And frankly, it is a byproduct of the culture that has been created in Kansas City. The players have the power, and the coach is just there to just guide them along. That is a recipe for disaster, ladies and gentlemen. In the NFL, there has to be structure. There's a reason why, for 20 years in New England, there was a dynasty, and it worked so well. Because no one was bigger than the team. Can you honestly imagine Tom Brady telling Bill Belichick, let's say, for instance, in 2004, no, we're not kicking the field goal. We're going to go for one more. Bill Belichick would tell Tom Brady to go school yourself. Get your rear end off the field. We're sitting on the field goal unit. That's what would have happened. Guaranteed. That's not even an opinion. That's a fact. Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the league right now, told Andy Reid, one more play. Don't send the field goal unit out. One more play. And it blew up in his face. In what world, in what planet does that happen? It doesn't happen here, but it sure happened yesterday. And now that is something that they're going to have to hold for basically the rest of eternity. Because they got too far ahead of themselves. And when you get too far, too soon ahead of yourself, things begin to backfire against you. Instead of playing within yourself, playing within the constructs of not becoming too arrogant in how you call plays and in your decision making, ultimately, things fall into line. But when things don't fall into line and things blow up in your face, the only one to blame is yourself. And that, to me, was really the most telltale aspect of what happened yesterday in Kansas City. There are some things that happen in life in which it is as close to a guarantee as there is in sports. You get out to a 21-3 lead, you're not thinking that this team is going to potentially collapse. You're not thinking along those lines at all. What you're thinking is that we are going to pad on to this lead, and we are going to find a way, in the end, should things get interesting, find a way to punch our ticket into the Super Bowl. And that in itself was the aspect of what made yesterday's game so stunning. What made this game particularly so shocking to watch in the entirety of the second half. That what we all thought was a formality, suddenly the world decided to tilt on its side and give the Kansas City Chiefs a dose of a harsh reality, and that is, you're not as good as you think you are. Even the mightiest of the mighty can get reared on its ass. And guess what happens? They got reared on its ass. Go look at David versus Goliath. Goliath thought he was too mighty and powerful to get completely knocked over by young David. David basically handed him that L. The Cincinnati Bengals handed the Kansas City Chiefs that L. And they're going to have all offseason to think about what went wrong and how did things go so wrong so fast in a short period of time. Glad to be back here with you on this Football Monday, the Monday after Championship Sunday. And what a Championship Sunday it was. Whew! You thought that a week ago was explosive and amazing to watch? And that was one of the great all-time weekends of NFL postseason history. Yesterday, for an encore, that was pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. Man, I'm fired up, man, for today. But we got to step aside for a music break. Coming up next, is it an end of an era in San Francisco? I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts as to why I think change is legitimately necessary in San Francisco. More on that coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show. Keep it locked in here, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons, while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tusk Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in into the program is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. And we are here with you live until 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, here every Mondays. And hopefully that will be continuing throughout the remainder of the first half of 2022, depending on the scheduling of the upcoming spring schedule in terms of the radio show. That may be the case, that may not be the case, but I'm just putting it out there into the universe. Hopefully I will be able to keep my slot from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Monday evenings, especially as we get into the spring, now that February is here. February 1st is tomorrow. I gotta remind myself of that. February is right around the corner, like literally tomorrow, and spring is also right around the corner, but who are we kidding? I mean, springs in Boston don't usually start until like maybe mid or late April, so yeah, we'll see. But with every ending ushers in a new beginning. That is the one constant statement in life that has rung true for the longest. Sports, it applies especially there because oftentimes we think that our heroes and our favorite players are there to play forever and we get emotionally attached. And then when they finally come to an abrupt ending, we're suddenly heartbroken and sad and upset. Why did this end? Or why did it end this way? All that fun stuff, you know? But when you are an acquisition or a new hire, and you've only been there for an extended period of time, and then you realize your employer doesn't really want you anymore because they already have hired your replacement, how does that make you feel? It should make you feel, you know, ticked off, right? Pissed. Yeah. But in the case of Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, I'm sure underneath the surface, he's angry, he's bitter, he's pissed. But when you consider how he handled the 2021 season in its entirety, from training camp to all of the talks and the speculation as to whether if he's going to be the starter or if the first round draft pick Trey Lance is going to be the starter of the 49ers, he handled it with aplomb. And you got to get credit where it's due, because that's not an easy thing at all. Considering that, number one, when he was traded from the Patriots to the Niners, he also signed a long-term deal, basically ensuring that he is the starter there. But something changed. Something absolutely changed. What exactly was it? Well, let's take a deep dive of a look into it, shall we? Let's go back to the 2019 season. We all remember how that went. The Niners, they have a good solid defense. Their run game is outstanding. They got a healthy Raheem Mostert, Deebo Samuels. They basically run their way to the Super Bowl. And when I say run their way to the Super Bowl, I mean that their dominant trait offensively was not throwing the ball. It was running the ball. Jimmy G was just there to manage the game. He was a game manager, if you will. And then in Super Bowl 54, what happened? He was entrusted to handle a 10-point lead, and he couldn't hang on. We all remember what happened in that game. And then, by the way, he's part of the blame as to why the Niners lost. He's not the sole reason. Kyle Shanahan, oh gosh, if anything, I put the blame on Kyle Shanahan more than I do on Jimmy G. I really do. But that's another story and another topic for another day. So when you begin to really just reflect on what happened in that game, that was the beginning of the end for Jimmy G and the 49ers. That game. Truthfully. And I say that because that game told me so much about when you don't trust the capabilities of your employer or your employee, it can't work. The relationship can't and doesn't work. When there's no trust between the organization, let's say the general manager in this case and the head coach in this case, and the employee, and that is Jimmy G, of course the relationship was bound to doom. Anybody who's worked in any sort of profession knows that. Now, let's fast forward to 2020. We all remember what happened. Jimmy G got hurt. He misses a large chunk of the season. He enters 2021 thinking that he's going to be the starter. He's going to be the guy. And then the Niners say, you know what? There's a guy that we really like and I think we should go after. There's a guy by the name of Trey Lance who played at North Dakota State. So we're going to basically mortgage the farm and mortgage the future to go get that guy who we believe is going to be the next starting quarterback in the San Francisco 49ers. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes mortgaging the future works in the NFL to get yourself the right quarterback. See the Los Angeles Rams. They practically mortgaged the future to get Matthew Stafford. They don't have a first-round pick in the NFL draft until 2024. So with that being said, going back to the Niners now, so they go and they go draft Trey Lance, and in the process, now the rumblings began in San Francisco, and the rumblings get louder than the Bay Area earthquake of 1989. The rumblings begin in which they say, well, Jimmy G's our guy, but we really like the nice and new shiny toy that we got. Jimmy G basically is like the old station Volvo that my father owned once upon a time. Trey Lance is basically the brand new smart car, Ferrari, or a Porsche that you just can't get your eyes off of. The Niners was just saying, we're going to, you know, play the guy that's going to give us the best chance to win. They tried to do this whole balancing thing with Trey Lance and Jimmy G, you know, splitting the snaps and so forth. Sure. It worked until you didn't have to make a decision anymore because Trey Lance got injured. That's why. That was the only reason why you weren't stuck with a quarterback controversy. And as the season progressed, one thing I came to realize was Jimmy G is still that dude in which I just don't trust late in games. He's going to either do you more harm than good when it comes to handling late game situations. See, the one thing that I've come to realize, and I've come to see this with my own eyes, is that Jimmy G is 37 and 16. Jimmy G is 37 and 16. Meanwhile, he has two blown leads in the NFL playoffs late in games. What was the first one? Super Bowl 54. Couldn't hold on to a 20-10 lead. What was the other one just yesterday? Couldn't protect a 17-7 lead. And then that last throw at the end of the fourth quarter, towards the end of the game, oh my God, what was that? It was as if he was trying to heave the ball into the heavens. Except it didn't get there. It was just tipped off the hands of the receiver and into the hands of the defense. That's what that was. Oh man, brutal. So Jimmy Garoppolo, wherever he ends up, is he talented? He has talent. Otherwise, he wouldn't be playing in the league. But the truth is, he is a very average pedestrian quarterback who cannot handle the pressure late in games and maintaining the lead. If you're ahead by 10-plus points in the postseason, that guy cannot be trusted. He's proved it to you twice, America. So Jimmy G this offseason is going to come with buy, but with caution. Jimmy G, he's 29. He's young. He's in his prime. But he can't win you the big game. That is the truth. Go look at his numbers. This postseason run that just ended for the 49ers. Especially in the game against the Green Bay Packers. He didn't play great. He was at best. And by translation of he was very average. Very average. Again, Deebo Samuels bailed him out on offense. And in the wild card game against Dallas, the defense did its part early on, except nearly blowing that big lead late in the game, if not for the fact that the umpire could not basically spot the ball soon enough in order for the Cowboys to have enough time to run another play before the end of regulation. Point is, Jimmy G is not to be trusted in big moments. He's proved it multiple times this offseason. He's proved it multiple times this past postseason. So, is it the end of an era in San Francisco? Oh, absolutely. I think anybody in America who can basically see the writing on the wall is acknowledging that, both on a national level and as well as locally in the Bay Area. Everybody knows that Jimmy G's days in San Francisco is done. And that's the nature of the business. The nature of the business is you are replaceable until you prove otherwise. And Jimmy G proved he is replaceable. And his replacement is Trey Lance. Coming up next, there is triple trouble. Why yesterday was a revelation of all sorts that it is impossible to ignore. I'm going to tell you exactly what the revelation was. Coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show with yours truly, Shukri Wright, on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Can begin.
Welcome back to the Shook Me Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tusk Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in, hit up my line, here with you till 7 o'clock, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It's the number to hit my line, hit me up, talk to me, what you're thinking about yesterday's game between the Chiefs and the Bengals, the Rams and the Niners. What are your thoughts? What are your takes from yesterday's games? Because what we saw was two games that were amazing to watch, but both of them were also byproducts of collapses as well. And even in the midst of the smoldering, you know, in the smoldering, like, rubbish, there is something beautiful born. You know, in life, sometimes, out of darkness eliminates light. Out of trial brings forth triumph. And we saw that yesterday between the Bengals and the Chiefs, most particularly from Joe Burrow. If the rest of the NFL and the rest of the sports world did not take notice before yesterday about Joe Burrow, that this guy was the real deal, and this guy was the real deal coming out of college, that historic 2019 season that he had for LSU, the national champion LSU Tigers, playing under the head coach Ed Orgeron, who was there at the time, then yesterday should have gotten you at hello. Because what you saw yesterday was savagery at its finest. Joe Burrow marched into, it was formerly called Arrowhead Stadium, but it's now called GEHA Stadium. GEHA Stadium is what it's called now. And said, basically, hide everybody. Hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your girlfriend. Hide everybody you love, because I'm here to steal your heart. Oh, did he ever? Did he ever steal the hearts of Chiefs fans and Chiefs Nation? Oh, man. You got to admit, now watching that comeback yesterday, you were just like, Joe Burrow, man, you are smooth like a criminal, but sneakier than Satan. With the football, that is. I mean, goodness, for goodness sakes. You tell me, listen, let's just talk about the outfit that he wore into formerly known as Arrowhead Stadium yesterday. Because, good Lord, if you told me that this guy was not going to win the game yesterday, I would have told you that you are an absolute liar. You are absolutely lying to yourself. Because, look, let's go back and look at yesterday's Super Bowl berth winning outfit that Joe Burrow's won. Look, let me tell you something. For those listening on radio, he had on the Nike golden chain with the gold letters on top of the check mark, the shades, clean shaven. He had the jacket. I think you best describe it as, it's like a suede like jacket, grayish white, silver. But he basically walked in into Arrowhead Stadium yesterday and said, nah, I'm here to steal every heart in here, and I am taking no prisoners home. The Bengals had the caption, Joe Shiesty. More like Joe Feisty. That was Joe Burrow yesterday. I mean, for goodness sakes, how could you not be impressed with what you saw? Like, I just love what I saw between Joe Burrow falling behind yesterday, how he handled it versus how he looked in the second half, where he just like said, nah, hop on my back, fellas. I got you. This is what Colin Cowherd said today on The Herd on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, that's different. But by and large, most quarterbacks, it kind of always kind of felt kind of the same, right? Like Brady and Montana and, you know, you get the occasional Steve Young. But now it's crazy.
This is your home. This is your family room / gym.
Yeah, that didn't go too well. Just going to give it a few, let me see if I can forward it just a few more seconds here. And here we go.
You know, I was watching Burrow yesterday, and I was thinking about this, is that, you know, when I was younger in the 60s, 70s, 80s, most quarterbacks kind of looked and played a lot. They're all like bigger than average men, you know, 6'2 and a half, 6'3, sat in the pocket, not terribly athletic. And then John Elway came around, and you're like, he could have been a baseball player. He could have been a quarterback. He was running around, big, strong, cannon arm. And then, you know, then I saw Warren Moon when I was a kid growing up in like 1974, 75, University of Washington, and Warren's running around. And you're like, all right, that's different. But by and large, most quarterbacks, it kind of always kind of felt kind of the same, right? Like Brady and Montana, and, you know, you get the occasional Steve Young. But now it's crazy. They're all the young quarterbacks. Kyler Murray's the little guy running around. And Josh Allen's as big as a defensive end, and he's making throws. And Mahomes is kind of the occasionally broken but great artist. And then Justin Herbert's more mechanical, but he's big, strong, 6'6", can move. And Lamar Jackson runs like a wide receiver. Big, small, fast, stoic, big. They're all different. And they're all new. And it's hard to find comps for them. And there's Joe Burrow. And to me, at least, he feels so old school. The cigars and the glasses and the coat make him feel like Joe Namath. The cocky edge makes him feel like Jim McMahon. The it factor makes him feel like Brady. And even statistically in the playoffs, it reads like Joe Montana. In his three playoff games, his passer rating's a 96. 4 touchdowns, 2 picks. I mean, it is good. It ain't blowing you away. And what I like about all of Burrow is I see like 7 comps for him. And a lot of these people, I mean, the only comp for Kyler is Russell Wilson, and he's still he's kind of a new style quarterback over the last 10 years. But Burrow feels like a lot of old school stuff. You know, athletes used to be a little more authentic and cockier on the podium, and then social media happened, and you become memes, and you get ripped, so everybody scales back, and he's kind of old school cigar. He's got the jacket. He looks like Namath. And it's like, oh, that's just kind of Joe Namath, and he's cocky like McMahon, and he's got the it, and his stats kind of sometimes look like Joe Montana. And in a world of new and fresh and unique, he's not really that. But what he is, I mean, last week we said, you know, oh, this one obstacle for Mahomes is going to be Josh Allen. Because Josh Allen can make the throws Mahomes can and is big and is fast. And the obstacle may be this guy. I mean, this Bengals roster, y'all get, it's in a rebuild. Like, I picked him for 4th. So did almost everybody in the world outside of Cincinnati. So he's got a feel for the game, an old school look, an old school podium personality. Joe Burrow, good for him.
That was Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio earlier today. And I agree. Joe Burrow really has an old school persona to him. He has this feel as if that I'm confident. I'm going to show the world that I'm confident, but I got an edge. I got a chip on my shoulder. It felt like in more ways than one entering the postseason that he was playing with a chip on his shoulder. Because if you may recall, going into the AFC title game, Joe Burrow was quoted as saying, I'm sick and tired of being viewed as the underdog, that we are as good as we think that we are. I'm basically paraphrasing what he said. He wasn't wrong. He was right. We learned about guys like T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, even more as the playoffs progressed. And then yesterday, stepping up when C.J. Uzama went down with the injury, T. Higgins stepped up huge. We've been new about Ja'Marr Chase, how arguably he may be the best receiver in football right now, not named Cooper Kupp. And oh, by the way, Cooper Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase, they're going to be playing in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. So when you talk about Joe Burrow and you talk about the kind of makeup that makes him so likable by the media and by the fans, this is it. The makeup is as follows. He's got the motivation and the chip on the shoulder similar to Brady. He's got the style with the likes of the best of them in the NFL. He has the flash, the sex appeal of a GQ model, all the while having probably a stronger arm than Josh Allen. And that's saying something because Josh Allen's got arguably one of the strongest arms in all of football, bar none. But to bring it back to the original topic, what we saw yesterday regarding Joe Burrow was a guy who I think that the AFC, in terms of the three-headed monster at quarterback, they have a reason to be afraid for the next 10 years. And this is not based upon just one playoff run. All Joe Burrow has done during his playoff run is continue to prove to everyone across America and the world that there's a reason why he was drafted number one overall by the Cincinnati Bengals in 2020. That wasn't a fluke. That was for real. And that was the same draft class that, oh, by the way, also featured Justin Herbert. And those two guys, Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, don't be surprised that in a year's time that those two are going to be duking it out in a meaningful game in the AFC. Don't be surprised. But with that being said, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes are the three guys in the AFC that I look at for the next 10 years as the top three quarterbacks in the conference. And if you're going to add a fourth, Justin Herbert is that fourth guy. But I mentioned top three for a reason. It is almost 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, which is hard to believe. Hour number one of the program is just about done, finished. So we are going to take a music break. In just a matter of seconds, we are going to play a PSA. I'm going to play a PSA just in case I did not forget to do so. So here's a PSA brought to you by the folks here at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Coming up next, what happened in Kansas City yesterday? And who do you blame? I want to give you exactly who do you blame the most and why. Coming up next, right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Hour number two, coming up on the other side of the music break. Keep it locked in here. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
About a little guy that lives in a blue world, and all day and all night, and everything he sees is just blue, like him inside and outside. Blue his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette, and everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, 'cause he ain't got nobody to listen to.
I'm blue, I've been beat, I've been dying, I've been